Reuters is reporting that the World Health Organization is calling for a moratorium on COVID-19 vaccine boosters until at least the end of September. They say that is to enable at least 10% of the population of every country is vaccinated, because some countries are already moving to third booster jabs when a very, very significant percentage of the global population hasn't been within 100 miles of a vaccination. I was asked the question yesterday about breakthrough infections in South Africa. How many breakthrough infections there have been? And a breakthrough infection, just to remind you, is an infection which happens to somebody after they have reached the sweet spot post-vaccination. And I didn't know the answer to that. I don't know if anybody knows about the Pfizer vaccine, but we did have the Sisonke trial with health workers and the J&J vaccine. And co-principal lead of that trial and also director of UCT's Desmond Tutu HIV Center, Professor Linda Gale Becker, joins us now. Linda Gale, good afternoon.
Hi there. Nice to be with you.
What are the numbers in terms of Sisonke vaccinations and breakthrough infections? What percentage? What numbers?
So what I can tell you, John, is that we have been monitoring this very carefully. And in fact, we have a team that, you know, keeps the ear open, picks up the reports of breakthrough infections as we define them, and then those cases are investigated. So let me back up to say the definition is any COVID infection proven by PCR that occurs after 28 days. So we expect the vaccine only really to kick in its full force after 28 days, and then after that, it is this terminology of breakthrough infection. Now, it is important to know also that you don't just miraculously go from zero to full protection. That protection grows over time. And so you continue to see benefit. We know from the clinical trials that the protection gets stronger over time. So that's the first thing. Yes, we are seeing breakthrough infections in all vaccines around the world. So the other important point to make is that these vaccines, none of them were expected to prevent 100% all infections. So in other words, they are not fully prophylactic. They were designed to reduce severe disease and death. Those were the endpoints of all the clinical trials that we've had. Now, there is obviously additional benefit that if you are vaccinated and you become infected, you're likely to have a lower viral load, so less severe disease, milder disease, and therefore hopefully be less infectious down the road. And so hopefully as more and more people get vaccinated, there's far less high viral load, if you like, in the community, and therefore over time, one would hope we'd have an impact on infections and the chain of transmission. But the most important thing is to prevent our hospitals and our ICUs being filled with severe disease. And what I can tell you from Sisonke, although we are seeing breakthrough infection, the vast majority, well over 90%, are mild or even, you know, non-requiring hospital. A small percentage require hospital, and you know, even a smaller percentage are needing more intensive interventions, such as, you know, invasive intubation, etc.
But you're not able yet to provide numbers.
Yes, so we are working on the numbers at the moment, literally, and we hope to have a public statement literally within the next week. So the other thing to do here, to work out vaccine effectiveness, you need to look at the comparator arm, which are those people who are unvaccinated. And that leads to quite significant analysis and statistics, and we are deep within that at the moment. But we have committed ourselves to have a vaccine effectiveness number and a public statement within a week or so. In fact, we're hoping we'll be able to prep the acting minister by the end of this week. So it is imminent.
And deaths, have there been any breakthrough infections which have led to the patient dying?
Yes, there have. I can say there have. We've investigated all of those cases. In a large proportion of them, there have been people who sadly have died with comorbidities, and on the older side of, as we know, those folk are more vulnerable to COVID. But what again I can tell you is that it is a vanishingly small proportion compared to how it looked before we had vaccination available to us. So we know these vaccines reduce severe disease and death. And what I can tell you is that even the single dose J&J, which I think people, you know, because perhaps it isn't two doses, people thought maybe they were getting less of a vaccine. This holds out for the single dose J&J. There is a magnificent reduction in severe disease and death. And we'll be able to give those exact numbers, as I say, within a week to 10 days.
It'll take longer for exact numbers for the Pfizer vaccine.
Correct.
But again, are the and this is not the study that you are the co-leader of, but I'm sure you're keeping an eye on what is being published. And is that showing a similar or slightly better set of expected numbers?
You know, the effectiveness is also very much affected by variants that may be moving around. So we've all been watching what's happening in Israel, of course. Again, our experience from Sisonke, and I think we can say this even now, that we are not seeing a difference between Delta and Beta waves. We are seeing somewhat of a reduction in immunogenicity vis-a-vis the initial ancestral strain. So we know these variants do have an impact on the vaccine performance. Although it must be said, there is not a single variant that has completely abrogated the impact of the vaccine. But we have seen a reduction in the protection with the variants.
I was reading of a preprint study, I was reading it in the New York Times, and the suggestion was that the Delta is 1,000 times more transmissible than the Wuhan variant.
Yep. So, you know, I've heard it equated to chickenpox, and we all know how transmissible chickenpox is. So, you know, this virus sends us curveballs all the time, but there's no doubt the variant has an impact on epidemiology, and it is playing out that it does have some impact on the current vaccines we have available to us. Although, as I say, important for public confidence to know that I don't know of a single variant that has completely wiped out the ability of a vaccine to do some benefit. And that benefit, again, I hope everyone holds on to the fact that what we really want to do is stop people ending up in ICUs and dying. And it's for this reason that they really need to step forward if offered a vaccine and take it with both hands.
Which, unfortunately, a lot of people are not prepared to do, and I tear my hair out as to the method of changing their minds. I don't think I've changed anybody's mind with all the work that I've done on this. So I'm now, tomorrow, I will be 2 weeks after my second Pfizer vaccine, so I'm about as protected as I'm ever going to be. And I can get infected. It's less likely that I'll be infected, but I can still be infected. And what is the reduction of the percentage chance that I can then infect somebody else as a fully vaccinated person?
So here the data seems to vacillate a little bit. I've just read a report coming out of the UK, again, showing that there does seem to be less of a viral load in people who've been vaccinated, and therefore one can deduce that if you have a lower viral load, you yourself are less likely to transmit the virus to somebody else. In the same way, if you receive a large viral load at the time of infection, it's presumed you'd have a more severe type of disease. So I think by and large, as I say, biological.
You're not able to say I'm 50% less likely to pass the infection.
I think we have to keep keep watching this data, John. I mean, I think it is all over the place, but my strong feeling, biologically, as I say, is that it is having it. I think there is now good evidence that there is an impact on viral load, and one can deduce from that maybe, again, you don't completely stop transmission, but the chances are far less. And that's going to be important. So we still have to remember things like good ventilation, making sure that, you know, we're not in closed spaces where people are, one, unvaccinated or may be, at risk of having the virus.
Yeah, people keep saying to me, John, you've been fully vaccinated, kiss me. And I just say no.
Well, yes, I think, you know, until let's get to the point where the country is fully vaccinated, and then maybe we can think about that. But, you know, I think until then let's continue to remember our three C's as well. And you know, again, I'm with you 100%. We have to just keep encouraging people. Do it for yourself. You don't want to be in an ICU. You don't want to, you know, suffer the throes of a severe disease. Get vaccinated. It's an easy thing to do. It's free. It's available. Go for it, you know.
Thank you very much, Professor Linda Gail Becker, who is co-principal lead of the Sisonke trial of the J&J vaccine in health workers.